She lives in the way that she treated us as her children and loved us, really made it so that when I encountered God, it didn't have to stretch my imagination too far to imagine what it would be like to be loved. And the first passage that kind of comes up into my head when I think about my mom, and some of you know her and can attest to this, but let's see, from Psalm 103, in description of God, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So when I became a Christian and I read this in the Bible, you know, like I had to think about God's love for me and imagine what that was like. But I really feel like that my mom was a living example of this to me. Someone who is slow to anger, abounding in love, who doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. So to give you a little bit of example of that, I had a horrible temper growing up. God has graciously, like, been working on it, and I think it's come a long way, but I had a horrendous temper, and it was very common for me and my mom to get into an argument, and I don't even know if you can call it an argument, because really it's just me escalating, and my mom's like reasoning with me and being very patient and very kind, and I'm getting more and more angry. And usually these ended up with me storming off, slamming the door, going to my room. And then after about a half an hour, like crying because I realized I'm so horrible. My mom is so kind. Never did she raise her voice at me. Never did she accuse me of things. Never did she yell at me in anger and say things that she would later regret. But actually just very kindly and compassionately, she would try to understand what was bothering me. She would try to ask me nicely to calm down. She would kind of, I don't know, make it really so that when I was alone, I realized she didn't do anything wrong. I was just being obnoxious. And so oftentimes these things would end up, when I got older, when I became a teenager, and actually after I became a Christian, I felt even more guilty. Like, I'm not a Christian, my mom is, I'm supposed to be showing her love, and I'm just like this crazy teenager who runs in the room, slams the door, is totally unreasonable. Eventually, as I started getting older, I would come out and apologize to her. And I was amazed that my mom never held a grudge. She never kind of lorded it over me. She never accused me of things. She never then said, like, well, da-da-da-da, and chided me and made me feel bad. She knew it was hard enough as it was for me to come out and apologize to her. And I think what that did is it really showed me that when I screw up with God, I don't need to run and hide, but that I could come to him and confess and find a loving and forgiving God. One time when I was in college, I moved home and the fight got so bad, I went to my room, did the same kind of thing. I kind of cried myself to sleep. And hours later, I woke up and I thought, okay, I guess I should go out and face her. And I wasn't really ready to say sorry. I was still kind of bitter. And I walked out. And she wasn't home anymore. And I walked over to the kitchen. It was around dinner time. And I looked on the counter. And even though she wasn't home, she'd left on the counter my favorite dinner. And I think part of that for her was saying, I know you're going to wake up and I'm not going to be here. And I don't want you to think that I've now decided that you are a lost cause and I'm taken off. But that I'm always here extending love to you and asking for you to turn around in love and kind. And so that's the first thing that I feel like I've learned about God is room in my imagination for what it would be like for someone to love me in a way where they're slow to anger, abounding in love, not treating me like my sins clearly deserve. The second thing was actually Well, I guess this has changed more and more as she became a Christian. My mom became a Christian when I was like 16. And this was more about like following God. And I think my mom is an example to me of what it says in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. My mom is the kind of person that takes in all sorts of, like, I don't know, like stray cats, but they're not cats, they're people, you know, like people that don't have happy family situations, international students that are here without their parents, people that have kind of like mental instability issues. My mom has always kind of taken them in and without explaining it to our family, just taught us that we're supposed to expect that our family opens the doors to them. So we've had some of the kids that she's met, or the young adults and teenagers that she's met at church, who, you know, some of them were Christian, some of them weren't, come and become a part of their family. Like, some of them have lived with us. Many of them come to our holiday celebrations as if they're family, and they know my cousins and my aunts and my uncles, and it has just become a regular part of things, that part of what we do and the way we're supposed to live is to have an open door to those that are in need and to love them and to care for them. There have been countless times when she has gotten a phone call. When I was in high school and college, when she would get a phone call from a teen who had like run away from home and was wandering the streets somewhere, or somebody who was kind of had some instability issues and had taken off from her husband and was not clear about where she was, and but she was kind of wandering around, and my mom's driving around at night around streets just looking for them, trying to stand in between them and the one that they need to be reconciled with and help them make that bridge. And I think my mom's heart for people who are in need and the way that she's gone out to care for them really has taught me that that's the kind of life I'm supposed to live when I follow Christ. She still today, you know, helps international students, and she'll like find them a housing, or they'll stay with her until they can find a place. She'll help them find a job. If they don't have a car, she'll drive them around, all these things. And not to say that my mom's, you know, absolutely perfect. We have our fair share of family issues still. But I really think that these two things are things that my mom has shown me, and it's really affected me about how I should live my life with God. So God being loving and gracious, and then also knowing how to follow God in humility and really caring for those that are hurting. Today, you're going to hear from a couple other people who are going to share about their mothers and their relationships with their mothers and what they've learned. And you're also going to have a little bit of time yourself to reflect on that as well. For your in your own life, what have you learned from your mothers? Or as a mother, what have you learned about God? Either one of those kind of directions. Okay. We're going to sing one last song before we move on. And this is kind of my response to thinking about my mom and how she has been an influence in my life. If that is a glimpse, if that is but a fraction of what God's love for me is like, then I am utterly floored. And so we're going to go ahead and sing this song.
You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hands. And Lord, I'm amazed by you. And Lord, I'm amazed by you. And Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you guys to Home of Christ. I'm Paul, and it's really good to see everybody this Mother's Day. I hope she's okay. You okay? Yeah. We are dismissing kids to Sunday school, first of all. I think most of them are gone already. But we're a scripture-shaped and spirit-filled place. That's how we want to live, directed by God's Spirit and guided completely by His Word. And we want to be a place that lives out His cross and new creation through our faith in Him, through our loving one another as a community, through the witness to Jesus Christ and His salvation, and through seeking for His righteousness in our own lives and justice in the world. So that's kind of what we're about. If you guys look at your bulletins, we have a whole bunch of things going on. First of all, it's Mother's Day, and that's kind of our theme for the morning. So let's definitely pray for our moms. And we have a number of new moms and moms-to-be, so please keep them in your prayers. Our All Home of Christ Summer Retreat, which happens every summer in August, which is a great, great time. For those of you guys who've never been to our Home of Christ Summer Retreats, we get together with the other Home of Christs. There are five other ones from throughout the Bay Area. We have guest speakers, workshops. It's a really good time, very spiritually rejuvenating. I always felt like Summer Retreat was a time when God really met with and spoke to me. And as I always am fond of mentioning, Summer Retreat is also where I met my wife. Hey. So, if you guys are interested, we have more details to come. Registration is going to start really soon, but start marking your calendar. It's the first weekend of August, okay? And then on May 21st, Doug, who has just been great about just staying in touch with the folks over at Snow Elementary School, our local elementary, we're going to continue working on their garden. We've had the chance, the privilege to go and help them to clean up their garden so that the kids have a garden to look at and play around and learn from. And so we've been able to be there. A lot of the youth have been able to come out in the past and do a lot of that grunt work. It's just a cool way for us to let them know that we love them and to care for them and to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. So if you guys can come, save the date, May 21st. Youth, if you guys need community service hours, it's a great opportunity. And talk to Doug if you're interested. He'll be gathering a list of volunteers. The other announcements there are in your bulletin and things that we pray about pretty regularly. But Doug, we're going to ask Doug to come up and lead us in a prayer time where you guys will get into groups to pray about family, and then we'll go on with our service. Come on up, Doug.
Thank you, Paul. I just wanted to Well, we'll have a little bit of prayer time today. We'll focus on families, but especially mothers. And the two verses, well, there's one verse we always like to go over. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I'll tell you, at least from my vantage point, when I hear the word honor, it just sort of goes over my head. And most of the time I take the attitude that if I haven't dishonored my parents, then I've honored them. And I don't think that's quite correct. I'll give you another few verses on this, which come from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. It says, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. And this one, sort of the negative form, the opposite of blessing your mothers is do not bless. The passive person, of course, he doesn't bless his mother either. Just ignores it. And I'm not a very, I don't like all this romantic or whatever you call it, all this imagery and other stuff, usually on Mother's Day. But I see that there's really a command there to bless your mother. And I think it's really an important one, and if we think what that means to actually go out and actively bless your mother, and can be saying good things about what she's done, bringing to remembrance the good things she's done, or praying for her, or providing something just to show your appreciation of what she's done. So many different things, or praying for your mother in another aspect. So I think that will be a theme that we'll have for a little bit of time. For those of you who are comfortable praying, we can pray a blessing for your mother. For those who aren't, I'm sure we can share something. So, but if I go on here, it also gives another one of these negative verses in Chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Again, a delightful little verse there to remind us that there's consequences when we neglect our duties. And so this is an American one here. I know some of you are not quite liking the Chinese tradition that we have to be so excessive in our honor, but this really is a universal command of God to honor, to bless. And so in this time, I just encourage you all, when you have a chance today, if your mother is still alive, give her a call and thank her, give her a blessing, and we'll leave that as the theme here for our prayer time. And what we usually do is we split up into groups of say four or five, and just share for a moment, maybe take a few minutes to give a quick prayer. Doesn't have to be anything fancy or profound, but, and again, if you aren't comfortable with prayer, that's okay too, but just maybe share something, or maybe just listen. Okay, let's go ahead and do that for a few minutes, and then we'll close it off. And all that she's meant to me, all the time she gives to me, and all the time that I know she will anytime. And pray, Lord, that you will bless her in her activities. Give her a good day, and just encourage her and continue to use her for your glory as she tries to serve you. And again, thank you for all the moms here that you have provided for through your plan, through the creation that you made, and the planning that you did on our behalf, again, all done before time began. And thank you so much for that. And pray that we will be appreciative of your creation, of the things that you did, and honor our parents, even as we honor you and give glory to you for being the one who gave them to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
Okay, thank you, Doug. Just want to kind of give us a little introduction to what we're doing this morning. As Elaine mentioned, it is Mother's Day, and I think in church we really, you know, we come on Sunday to worship God. We come to honor Him. We come to learn more about Him through His Word and to praise Him and to figure out how to live the way that He wants us to live. But sometimes I think we have like some fishy ideas about how that works. You know, like we have this idea that God pretty much speaks to us, you know, through some kind of mystical religious experience and like, Zam, God just spoke to me and I just got to have a feeling and this is what God wants me to do. And He does that. It's true. Or sometimes we think that it's just got to come out of studying His Word intently and, oh, I just got to study His Word and study His Word. And yes, of course, that's true too. God wants to speak to us that way. But we forget that God is not so uncreative as not to speak to us in many, many different ways in our lives. And so I guess I want to propose to you this thought that I don't know if you've ever thought about, that God picked your mom just for you. That's pretty crazy to think about, because, you know, you don't really think about your mom being chosen. Your mom is your mom because, well, that's how it happened, you know? And I think for some of you guys, that thought is actually a really hard thought, because just this morning, even though it was Mother's Day, you just had a fight with your mom. Or some of you guys, if you think about your relationship with your mom right now, it's not too great, or it's never been there. For some of you guys, your mom has never been a part of your life. And for others of you, you wish that she wasn't so much a part of your life all the time, every day. And yet, I think there is truth in the thought that for some reason, in the way that God worked things out in our lives, He gave us our families, our brothers and sisters, our fathers, but indeed our moms for a reason. And what we wanted to reflect on this morning is the way that He has done that, and why He's done that in the unique ways that He has. So we've asked two of our brothers and sisters here at our church to share their testimonies. Elaine shared a little bit. In a moment, I'm going to ask Eric to come up, and Karen's going to share as well. And then I'll share a few things. But as you hear their stories, listen as a friend, listen as a brother and sister, listen as somebody who is also along this journey where you're trying to figure out how has God worked in your life, and how is He working right now in your life. And as they share, maybe their stories can be a way for you to, a mirror for you to reflect back on your own relationships with your mothers and your own relationship with God. And we hope that this is a blessing and an encouragement. We hope that this honors the Lord. But we also hope to honor our moms. And I'm really excited about the folks who are sharing this morning. So can we first welcome Eric, who's going to come and share us a little testimony about what Eric's mom has taught him about God.
Thank you, Paul, for giving me this time to thank my mom. And I'd like to start off by telling you guys a little bit about my mom. She's a very scary person, first of all. just 9 or 10 years ago, it was about Christmas time, and then I just wanted to get out of the house and just look at the, you know, the Christmas lights in the neighborhood. And I went out, I saw the beautiful lights, I came back in, and I saw my mom there, and then she was like, "Hey, where did you go?" And I was like, "Oh, I just went outside to see some Christmas lights." And she's like, "Okay, well, 去发站, which is face the wall and then stay there for a good 10 minutes or so." And yeah, that's how scary she is. So yeah, but here I'm not going to tell you guys about how scary she is. I'm going to tell you guys about how she helps me to be more familiar with God in my life. And first off, she would always care about like the family relationship. Like every time during dinner time, she would always try to get the family together and just to have a good time together. And whenever I would get angry at her, I would just try to stay in my room and try to study or something. And she would always just try to find a way to get me eating dinner with them. And I guess One of the biggest things that influenced me was that she wanted to get, and she wanted to make me more close with my sisters. Like, me and Annie were kind of a very tense relationship. So every time we have conflicts, like we argue, and then, you know, it's your fault, no, it's yours, whatever. My mom would always try to break it up and then just say, oh, both of you have faults, go fazan or whatever. And yeah, she would just try to stop the conflicts before they grow into any violent, you know, domestic, I don't want to go there. But yeah, I'm very thankful that she creates a happy atmosphere in the house, and she shows me how a scary person on the outside can be very loving and caring on the inside. And yeah. And just like God, God can be a scary being, but then if you actually think about it, he's very loving and caring on the inside too. Yeah, I don't want to relate God and, you know, mom. And another thing, during arguments, she would say that both, you know, in arguments that you always think you're right, but the other person thinks they're right, stuff like that. My mom always tried to break us up and say that both of us are wrong. It's kind of a new point of view for me. And she just wants us to understand and fix our own mistakes. And I really appreciate that. And she always talks reason to get rid of our emotions. I think she showed me this quote. It was like, feelings and emotions are neutral, but what you do with them is good or bad. And it really influenced me. And then every time I would get in a fight, I would think about what to do with my emotions and how to make that into a good thing or a bad thing. And she would often use quotes and sayings to prove her point. Like, every time I would do something wrong, she would try to flip through the Bible and try to find a quote and then attack me with it. But, yeah, I really appreciate that. And then every time I read about Jesus' teachings, like, he would use parables and stuff to bring his message to his disciples. I would relate to that. Just, I would think about my mom and how she uses the quotes from the Bible and how she teaches me using that. And then I could use those teachings and words to influence my own life and to fix everything bad I've done. And yeah, I'm really thankful for my mom and everything she has done for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eric. That was fun. It was especially meaningful in the context of knowing Eric for years and having watched some of the things he's talking about, both in terms of his mom, I won't say being scary, but really being firm with him, but also the tenderness and commitment that she has for him and how he's grown in loving her. So that's a cool thing. Thanks, Eric. Karen, would you come up and share with us? Let's welcome Karen up.
Hi. I guess I'll introduce myself a little bit. I'm Karen, and I'm a mother of two. You've probably seen Darius running around, and the little Cyrus one is still in the crib under control for now. So we're okay for now. But today I just want to share a little bit about what God has taught me after I become a mom. There's a lot of things that he gave me, like, new perspective into, like, why my mom did something to me before, and it's just like, maybe for people, like for young people who are not parents yet, they might not understand it at this point, but I just want to share with you how I feel right now. So I guess there's a few things that God has shown me. And like, it showed me like my relationship with my mom when I was a teenager, when I was a kid. My mom always told me like when I was a baby, I was a really fussy baby, and how she has to carry me and walk me around in the living room all night, even though she has to work the other day. And she always taught, she always like, when we have meals, she always saved the best for us. And then like, she would, for example, like, if it's the chicken, she'll always save like the wings and like, the legs. And when it's like veggies, she knows that I only like the leaf. And then like, when she told me all these stuff, like, it's not like she wants to, she want anything in return, but like, I don't really appreciate, like, I know it came from love, but like, my response to her is always, Mom, that's a little bit stupid. If I were you, I would just let the baby cry, cause eventually they'll go to sleep. And, well, if I like chicken wings, then you should just buy chicken wings instead of buying the whole chicken, so we can all have the best part of the chicken. And like, my mom doesn't really get mad at me, but then like she would feel a little bit sad because she like I don't really see appreciate what she does. But now that I become a mom, I think I begin to understand like why she does things like that, because like now. With my kids, like, I wouldn't let them cry. Like, every time when they cry, I usually pick them up within, like, a minute. Like, I know Wayne, my husband, would say that's stupid because, like, you're letting the baby train me but not me training the baby. But I think, like, it's just different perspective. I'm not, like, saying dad doesn't love their kids, but I think we love the kids in different ways. So I think, like, this is, like, the first thing that God has taught me, which is, like, being a mom, like, you really do love your kids, and they're your priority, and everything you think about them first. Like, now that we have two kids, we barely have time to cook, and we're lucky that we have help from our parents, but then there was, like, a couple weeks where... it was just me, Wayne, and the babies, and we barely have time to cook. And like when it's around dinner time, the only thing that I was thinking about is I want to make sure like I have stuff for Darius to eat, but not for us to eat. Like I think like with us, we can live without having dinner, or like we can just grab whatever we can from the fridge. But then the first thing that came to my mind is I want to make sure Darius has enough nutrition and he has a proper meal for dinner. And that's not something that I would be thinking about when I was a kid, because I think being a kid, you tend to only be thinking about yourself, and you tend to think, like, you take what your parents do for you for granted. It's just like we took what God does for us for granted. Like, when I read the Bible, like, we always read about, like, how God died for us, and while we were still sinner, and you would be like, okay, that's totally irrational. Like, why would you die for, like, sinner? Like, you might die for your child, but, like, why would you die for sinner like us? But I think that, like, now that I'm a mom, I know why he does that, because we are his kids, and he does that out from love. So that's one of the things that I want to share. And then I guess the other things that I want to share is God shows us that love is unconditional, and if we really love someone, we don't think about like what return we get when we do things. It's just like the way parents treat their kids. They want to give them the best, and like raising a kid is very expensive. Yesterday night I was talking with Wayne, and I was like looking at Facebook, and I saw like some of my single friends or friends with no kids, they were like doing cooking classes in Paris, and I was looking at Wayne, I was like, When will I ever be able to afford to wear a Tiffany diamond ring and fly to Paris for like cooking classes, like maybe like a few times every year? So Wayne was like, you can do that if you don't have to pay for 2 daycares. So I'm like, yeah, I don't think that will ever happen, but I think like I'd rather have 2 kids than having like Tiffany rings and going to like Paris a few times every year, or going for like vacation a few years every year, because I think people that you truly love, they're priceless to you. And it's just like we are to God, like we are priceless to Him. The last thing that I want to share is in terms of like me and my relationship with my kids, as well as like me and my relationship with my mom. Just like what I said before, I always took what my mom does to me for granted. So like I barely told her that I love her, and I don't usually do anything to show her that I love her, because the way I see it is we're family. So like I don't really need to do anything to please her, because I'm her daughter, so she should know that I love her. But I don't think that's really true, because even though like I don't expect anything in return from Darius, especially he's so young, but every time when he comes and hug me and say, "Mommy, I love you," like even though I'm not sure if he really understands what he was talking about, because he would be hugging everyone and say, "I love you." But then like every time when he does that to me, like it makes me feel really happy, and it makes me feel like what I does for him really, like, it's worth it. So like it just kind of remind me that like even though like I don't think my mom would not love me if I don't tell her that I don't love her, or if I don't do anything for her, but if I just say it to her, or if I just do something to please her, then it will make her feel even happier. Because if you don't say it, then people never really know how much and what you feel or how much you really love her. It's just kind of like the way we treat God. I think we always think, okay, God loves us, and yeah, we love Him because He saved us. But then I think if we truly love Him, then we would follow His will, and we will actually praise Him in public, and we will tell people that we're His children and we love Him. So that's just a couple of things that I want to share with you.
Thank you, Karen. That was really good. A lot of really insights that made me think a lot about my own relationship with my mom and with God. So I appreciate you guys sharing. I'm going to give you guys a chance in a minute to think a little bit of your own relationships, and I have some paper here if you guys want to write something. You guys probably already did your Mother's Day cards, right? Right? You did your Mother's Day cards, right? But if you didn't, if it's something that you want to write either to your mother or to a mother figure in your life, or somebody who just you know who needs to be encouraged as a mother, we'll give you guys some time to do that. I know that it's a very personal thing to share about for these guys to share, and then for you to contemplate right now. But as you consider it and reflect on it, consider that that's actually something that God wants to do with you this morning, is to reflect on that part of your heart and that part of your life that appreciates and longs for and maybe misses the mother in your life. I think if you asked me to talk about my mom years ago, every couple of years it would be quite different. My mom and I fought a lot. When I became a Christian, as a teenager, and to this day my mom is not a part of the church or anything like that. When I became a Christian, and I heard the verse in Luke where Jesus says, if anybody doesn't hate mother and father and you know, then they cannot become my disciple. I was like, got it. All right, good. Nail that one. Because, man, we had problems. I'm going to tell you, I think being a teenager is like the worst time to become a Christian in terms of your witness to your parents, because you, at the same time that you go from this like sweet and cute little baby to this like, I can do it on my own. I hate you. I want to go my own way. You're also like claiming to now follow Christ. And so my mom watched me, both become, an obnoxious, combative teenager at the same time that she watched me become a Christian. And honestly, I think for the first 18 years of my life, we just had it out all the time. And I think it's because we're so much alike. I'm totally the middle child and the black sheep and the one who's like mom, and we're both really emotional and all that kind of stuff. But what I think my relationship with my mom has taught me about my relationship with God is how to love when it gets old. How to love when it gets old. Like I said, we didn't really, we fought a lot, especially in my teenage years. I can remember arguments where, she pushed me out of the car because of the hurtful things I said. And the car was moving at the time, you know, that's how intense it got. I can remember times when, I said things that, made my brother walk into my room and slap me in the face. And he said, I can't believe you just said that to my mom. And of course, my attitude was, why are you always taking her side? and I can just remember very, very hurtful times. And I think what had happened was that my mom and I were always close. She's a phenomenal mother. She's always there for me. I just remember middle of the night one time, I thought I heard people fighting outside, and I ran into her room scared because I thought I heard a woman screaming. And she came into my room and you know, came to my bed and told me stories about how her father used to work in a railroad, and they had to stay there overnight sometimes. And he would tell her that, oh, those sounds that you hear of people screaming, those are just cats, because cats make human noises at night. And she said that's probably what it was. And I thought back on that as an adult, I was like, that's not right. Cats don't make human noises. But what was important was that she comforted me and she was there. But somehow, as happens in teenage years, we got into all kinds of disagreements. You know, Mark Twain once said that, I'm fudging the numbers here, but when you're 8, your parents know everything. When you're 16, they don't know anything. And then when you're 26, they know everything again. And that really became true in my life. As I got older, I started to understand more and more the way that my mom loved me and cared for me in ways that I never saw or understood or recognized, never said, never acknowledged. When I got married, so a lot of you guys were at our wedding 6.5 years ago, right? Shoot. Six and a half years ago, we decided to do this thing where we would write a letter to our parents, and you know, a lot of times they do flowers for the parents, but we decided that we would have a letter, we would write a letter to our parents and have it read while we were handing out the flowers. And it sounded like a nice idea, and it would be kind of thoughtful and stuff like that. Anyway, it was a good idea, but it was also catastrophic, because I wrote that letter, I think, 2 nights before our wedding. And so those of you guys who were there may remember this. It was a really long wedding. Sorry, guys. But Chris, who was one of my bridesmaids, no, groomsmen, read the letter. And as he was reading the letter, and as I was kind of, as it was hitting me, what I was saying to my mom in that letter, I went to hand her the flowers, and I couldn't even, those of you guys who were there know, I couldn't even, like, maintain the strength to hold the flowers up to her. I just collapsed. Like a baby. I just started crying, and my mom and dad, like, were awkward, because they're like awkwardly standing there during the ceremony with like 400 people, and like, what do we do? Our grown kid is crying at his wedding, and he's like falling into pieces. And they did really what they do is they embraced me and held me up while I bawled like a baby. And you know what it was that I was overcome with emotion, because I realized that I wrote those words and I meant them when I wrote them, but I had no idea what I was saying. That if I tried to collect up every single minute of just incredible and incredibly heartbreaking intimacy, affection, and care that my mom had shown me, that I had never stopped and paused to recognize, the weight of that was just too much on me emotionally, and I couldn't handle it. And now that I'm a dad and I see things like Elaine changed Eden's diaper, like she has some problems right now. So she changed her diaper like 8 times last night. And a couple nights ago, we were changing her diaper in the middle of the night in the bed, and she just went in between diapers all over Elaine. Poo. And it was so sweet to watch Elaine change her and clean her up, clean the bed. And every motion, every action, every gesture, every look that she gave to our daughter was one of total affection and love. And when I think back on my mom and the fact that there were a million moments when everybody else thought I was this smelly, obnoxious, noisy kid, and she looked at me and thought, that's my son, I love her, I love him. And I think back to all the things that she did. She told us recently, because we're experiencing breastfeeding, that when I was a baby and we were in Taiwan, she had to work and they didn't have a car, so she biked to work. And she would bike 15 minutes back from work every couple of hours to breastfeed me. And I just pictured my mom on a bike through the streets of Taipei every couple of hours, leaving her work, riding her bike 15 minutes home to breastfeed me. And it's just like unfathomable. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist writes, I've calmed myself and quieted my ambitions. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Isaiah 66, the prophet Isaiah says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. What happened with my relationship with my mom, obviously, is that as I became a teenager, I got older, and the way that she loved me and comforted me got old. But as I matured from a teenager, I started to be able to recognize the everyday countless ways that she loves me. And now that I've been a Christian for 17 years, I think sometimes the way God loves me gets old, and I stop recognizing the very powerful everyday ways that God takes care of me and loves me. If there's an image that I hope you walk away with, whether you know Christ or not, whether you're a Christian or not, wherever you are with your walk with God, if I could leave you with an image, I would leave you with the image of, this is what God's love is like. He gets on a bike every couple of hours and rides through the streets of Taipei 15 minutes just to come home to breastfeed you. That's what he's like. I want to give you guys a chance, some time to contemplate. So we just want to give you a few minutes, and I'll hand out paper. You can use it or not use it. In fact, Dorcas, would you do me a favor and help me be a paper passer outer? And maybe Cliff, you can help me too. Thanks. Grab a pen. There are pens and pencils in the cups that are next to you, or if you have one on yourself, or I'll grab a few back there and pass them out. And I just want to give you a few minutes to just reflect, to write. You've heard stories from Karen, stories from Eric, stories from Elaine, and from myself. The mom or the mother figure, your grandmother, your aunt, your sister, whoever it was in your life, just to reflect on the way that God used her in your life to help you to understand what love means and to help you to understand a little bit more about what he's like. Take some time to write. Nobody's going to collect it. It's just for you. And if you want to turn it into a card or an email or a phone call or whatever, I encourage you to do so. And after a few minutes, Elaine will come and close us in worship, okay? All right.